help us to commence this evening with hymn 731. Heal us, Emmanuel, here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair, and Saviour, we are such. 731.
Lord, grant his blessing upon his holy word. We will turn to read it this evening in the Gospel of Matthew, reading the latter part of chapter 3, and then from chapter 4. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, we'll begin reading at verse 13, and then we will read chapter 4. Matthew 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfil all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward ahungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Esaias the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. So may the Lord grant his blessing upon the reading of his holy and sacred word, and may he help us now to pray. O thou most holy, almighty, and eternal Lord God, permit us now, Lord, to draw near to thee in prayer. For we would plead the precious name of Jesus and plead his sin atoning blood, that it may be he now instead of us is seen, as we approach to thee, our God. O Lord, all things centre upon the Lord Jesus Christ. For thou dost see the travail of his soul, the soul of thy beloved Son, poured out unto death for the sacrifice for sin. And thy people, they look to Christ, thy beloved Son, for all their hope is in him. So every blessing, every grace, all flows to us through Jesus. And Lord, oh, we would seek to worship this night in spirit and in truth. O Lord, who set that cross of Christ before our eyes, and to lose sight of all other things for a moment of time, to consider him who endured the cross, despising the shame, he who bore contradiction himself against sinners, that we, lest we be weary and faint in our minds, Lord, our strength is in what Christ hath done. Oh, so give us, Lord, the help of thy Spirit this night to look by faith, to believe through faith, and to know, Lord, thy blessings imparted, to embrace the truth as it is in Jesus by precious faith. And thereby, Lord, know its healing virtue. Oh, Lord, we've sung that opening hymn, Heal Us, Emmanuel. Here we are waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair and Saviour. We are such. Lord, each deep wounded soul on account of sin this night, Lord, may they know and feel thy healing virtue. May they, as it were, touch the hem of thy garment in their seeking by faith. And that healing virtue of thine, Lord, flow down to the removal of all iniquity, every transgression, and every sin, that one is made whole, complete, a perfect, through Christ Jesus. Lord, may such blessing be upon each one of us. We can ask no greater thing. Lord, we do remember before thee thy dear servant who has taken this service for many years here. Lord, remember our friend Mr. Wood. Mr. Woodhouse, and Lord, we pray for him in his infirmities. O Lord, still commune with him through the blessing of the gospel. Still rule within him, Lord, by thy Spirit. May he know many moments rich in blessing, which before thy cross is spent. And Lord, the word that he has preached for many years, Lord, may it now, oh, prove to be his comfort. To him, Lord, it is a word of blessing, a word of assurance. Lord, we commend him to thee, and his wife also, in their pathway. Lord, be gracious unto them. And Lord, we meet here tonight with the Trinitarian Bible Society particularly in mind for the work that they do. And Lord, we commend them to thee. Lord, provide for them all that they have need of. Lord, in those that have wisdom and understanding in the original tongues of Holy Scripture, Lord, those that are faithful through thy teaching to the truth that it contains and to translate it into the various tongues, Lord, that it be the truth, the inerrant word of God to all nations. And Lord, we pray thou will provide all means that they have need of. Lord, spiritually and providentially, Lord, as they are thinking, moving from one office area to another, Lord, go before them in all those decisions that are made and have yet to be made. And Lord, may it be that through these things the work begun is carried on to the honour and glory of thy name. Lord, who raise up those constrained to work there, and grant the unity of thy Spirit, the bond of thy peace, all wisdom and grace needed in these difficult days. O Lord, enable them to continue, thy blessing upon their work, that thy word may be made precious to many sinner souls. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word we have in our own tongue. Oh, do not let us despise it. Lord, the freedom to publish and proclaim it is under threat in this our day. But, oh, our eyes, Lord, are upon to thee, from whence cometh our help. Lord, maintain it to be freely published and proclaimed within our own shores. And Lord, may the gospel's joyful sound, enforced by mighty grace, go forth and fill, Lord, the empty places in the courts of thy house. Lord, may it not return unto thee void, but may it ever accomplish that which thou doth please, through the blessing of thy Spirit, and prosper it in the thing to which thou dost send it. For thou hast promised, my word shall not return unto me void. Then, Lord, make it abide in our hearts, and do us good. It is the sacred truth. It is the eternal truth needed by all guilty sinners, for in it is the way of salvation. So, Lord, do keep us fast, to hold fast, and the Trinitarian Bible Society also, Lord, to stand fast in that which it seeks to do. We ask, Lord, thy blessing upon the preaching of thy word, founded upon the sacred pages of the Scriptures. O Lord, do bless each one, Lord, each sermon that is preached here, those that thou hast sent, Lord, to labour in the ministry of the gospel. Ever make them the messengers in thy message. Lord, that there be thus saith the Lord, in the power and strength of the Holy Ghost. And so, Lord, may many, many not be sent empty away from thine earthly courts, but know that Jesus has been in the midst to own and bless his own word, to apply it in the power and gift of the Spirit. Lord, so may it be. And so, Lord, may there be a building up of church. Yes, and congregation. Lord, except that thou doth build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Lord, thou must speak through thine own word. For we do not speak ourselves with enticing words, but seek, Lord, for the gospel to be in the power of the Holy Ghost. And so, Lord, each heart, be renewed, be made fresh, be born again, born of the Spirit, born of God, under the sound of the gospel. Lord, do increase thy church here with those who testify assuredly of what thou hast done for the blessing of their souls, called from nature's darkness into thy most marvellous light. And Lord, we pray for increasing congregation. Lord, in this town, this village of Swavesey, Lord, we do pray that many a heart may be touched through the outpouring of thy Spirit, and many be compelled to come and hear the sound of truth, the blessed gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their souls. Not only here, Lord, but throughout this, our own land, and throughout the world. Do remember, Lord, the growing generations, the young people, the children. We do commend them to Thee. Lord, watch over them and appear for their help. Lord, do call them by grace. Lord, through Thy sacred word, oh, may there be Thy voice heard. Do not let them be like them that hear not Thy voice, and so be like them that go down into the pit. Lord, but call by grace and set the knowledge of Thy Son within their heart. Lord, be with them in all circumstances of life and lead them forth in the right way, a way that keeps them, Lord, dependent upon Thy grace, prayerful at the throne of grace, there to obtain mercy and all grace to help them in the time of their need. Lord, help them to be much in prayer. And each of us, Lord, also. Oh, the privilege of prayer, Lord, that Thou hast given. Communion with Thee, our God. Lord, as we seek it to be so now. Oh, Lord, do cause our petitions to be cleansed through the precious blood of Christ. And hear and answer that which we beseech of Thee. Lord, who help the deacons of this church, watch over them, direct them in all things, and hear and answer, Lord, their petitions. Lord, who help in every exercise of the church, and Lord, open up ways where there may seem to be no way. Oh, Lord, do deliver from doubts and fear. Oh, that evilness of unbelief which dwells within us each through the reasoning of our own minds. Lord, replace it by precious faith, trusting in Thee at all times, pouring out one's heart before Thee. Thou, our refuge and our strength. So may it be, Lord, for the deacons and church in all things that concern them. And Lord, we would not forget to thank Thee in remembrance of the freedom and liberty we have this day. A day of remembrance, deliverance from those dreadful wars, deliverance from the power of the enemy, deliverance, Lord, where we have our freedom. And so we come as we are this day. Oh, how great is Thy mercy, how great is Thy long-suffering love. Lord, in Thy wrath today, still remember that mercy, for we have fallen, we've backslidden. Lord, much respect has been made in remembrance of those that fell, giving their lives in the defence of our land. Yet, Lord, we've heard so little of the remembrance of Thy good hand, of Thy mercy and Thine appearing, which turned about what seemed to be destruction and defeat into a glorious victory. O Lord, still be mindful of us. Do not let us completely forsake Thee. Turn us about again. Overturn, Lord, all the wicked desires and evil of many that have risen up in the power of our land and authority today. Lord, may it be for their own destruction. They fall trapped in their own net, of their own persuasions. And could it be Thy will, Lord, turn them about to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, if they could save an apostle, a Saul of Tarsus, to become an apostle Paul. Lord, if thou could save us poor sinners, to come, Lord, to worship thee for all thy mercy and goodness, then surely, Lord, thou canst work in their hearts and turn them about that our nation again becomes a nation whose God is the Lord. O Lord, we would remember thy goodness. We pray thou wilt remember us. Hear us, Lord, in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, do forgive. For Jesus Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.
Hymn 926. When overwhelmed with doubts and fear, great God, do thou my spirit cheer. Let not my eyes with tears be fed, but to the rock of ages led. 926.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon our Lord, that he will not only open up to us the truth of his holy word, but grant application to each of our hearts. I'd ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, which we read, and three words we find in verse 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, the words of Jesus. It is written. It is written. These words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the witness of it being at the end of the previous chapter, when God spoke from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And yet Satan, the father of lies, boldened in himself to tempt the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God. Dear friends, Satan tempted Jesus three times. But notice Jesus was led up of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. Jesus came, as it was written of him at the very beginning, "The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head." Satan gained the victory over Adam and Eve. But dear friends, he wouldn't gain the victory over the second Adam. If thou be the Son of God. And so there were these three temptations. And the answer of Jesus on each of those three occasions began with the same words. It is written. It is written. Oh, what importance the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, placed upon the written word. Jesus, the divine Son of God, is and ever has been the Word. God spake, it was done. Without him, without Jesus, was not anything made that was made. He was the Word. And the Word was made flesh. Jesus could have replied to Satan in whatever way he wished, in the power of the authority of the Godhead. But Jesus said, "It is written. It has already been spoken. It has already been declared." And Satan had no answer to it. The power of the Word of God, the power of the written Word, the truth sent forth from the Godhead through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Satan cannot deny. Now, dear friends, if the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, puts so much emphasis and importance upon the written word, so must you, and so must I. it's a sacred book. There are there no other book like it. It's the only book which contains the way of eternal life, the way of salvation for sinners. You say, oh, but Jesus spoke that of the Old Testament. What of the New? Well, the Apostle John, when he wrote his Gospel, declared this towards the end of it. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. The truth as it is in Jesus, it is written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Oh, Jesus on one occasion said, didn't he, to those that was around about him, concerning the scriptures, that they testify of him. In the scriptures, ye believe they have the way of eternal life, and they testify of me. And the glorious gospels that reveal to us in our day the things of Christ. Dear friends, not everything that Christ spoke and did are written here. John says if it were, he doesn't think the whole world could contain the books. But what is written is sufficient under the blessing of the Holy Spirit that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing he might have life through his name. And the apostles, they sought to preach the written word, didn't they? Their preaching did not go beyond that which was revealed in the scriptures and in the truth concerning Jesus. It's Paul writing to Timothy, who says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture. Peter, writing concerning the prophecies, the coming of Jesus, said those holy men of old, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, wrote those things. Let me not put my words, but the words which Peter wrote himself. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God upon man, revelation of the truth. And you might say, oh, but what about those historical accounts? The kings and Samuel, the book of Samuel and the Chronicles. Are they inspired or are they just history? Dear friends, they were given for a purpose. Paul says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Dear friends, there's nothing contained in the holy word of God that is not given for our spiritual and providential good. What a sacred book, the word of God, and what a privilege to have it in our own tongue, translated as it was in those centuries ago, and dear friends, not without great opposition. But oh, the Spirit moved upon those men such as Tyndale and Wycliffe and others and Coverdale to translate the Holy Scripture into the book we have before us now, based on the original tongue. And how solemn at the very end we read the word of God saying that if anyone adds to them or takes away from this book, then oh, the judgments and the wrath of God would come upon them. We have various translations today which take away some of the original writings in those original translations, because they are not completely in accordance with the doctrine they desire to preach. How solemn to have taken away the word of God as if they know better. Dear friends, the Trinitarian Bible Society seeks to translate those original documents, those original scrolls, as it were, parchments, not only into our own tongue, as they've maintained the authorized version translated over 400 years ago, but also into the other tongues of the nation. There's a multitude of tongues, languages, and dialects. And there are so many who have heard the word of God through the missionary and the preaching of the gospel, but they do not have the word of God written in their own tongue. And the Trinitarian Bible Society seeks and endeavours that wherever it is possible, that they may provide the complete scriptures, the holy word of God, to those people that they may be able to read it for themselves. What a need there is for prayer. Prayer for the society, the Trinitarian Bible Society, that their needs may be supplied. Dear friends, a great need is translators. Translators who are faithful to all the doctrines of the scriptures, the doctrine of the Trinity, the doctrine of the saving grace in Christ alone, and so we may go on. The electing and sovereign love of God. And so they may translate the scriptures faithfully into the language of those that do not have it. Prayer is much needed for the Trinitarian Bible Society, as such means will be granted to them, as well as that which is needed materially. So, dear friends, tonight we would pray and seek that the work that there has been begun now for many, many years will be able to be continued. And that there will those will be constrained of the Spirit of God to work in that solemn, sacred, blessed, sweet work. And the Lord will establish the work of their hands. It is written. Now, dear friends, what is written? The Lord Jesus here spoke of three things, but there are many things which if we tried to speak of them all, oh, we would be here a very long time, wouldn't we? But it's one of those things, dear friends, which is written, which we must take note of. The Lord Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Now, dear friends, how is it possible for you and I to love God, whom we have not seen? How possible is it for us to love God when through the fall of man in Adam and Eve we are all born in sin, shapen in iniquity, born dead in trespasses and in sins? It's impossible with man. It's impossible with you and impossible with me. But the psalmist, in more than one occasion, says this. He says, thy word hath quickened me. Thy word hath quickened me. And that word, dear friends, was a word of the Lord, the Holy Scripture, the truth, revealed in the heart of that dear psalmist under the influence of the Spirit. The Spirit of God whom he sends down. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by gracious aid, and through grace by faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And it is written, he will form a people for his praise. Oh, dear friends, if it wasn't for that truth, you and I tonight, no matter what we are, where we are, we would perish in our sins when we breathe our last breath. But it is written, the Lord hath a people, and they're loved of him with an everlasting love. And dear friends, we cannot fathom out that love. But that love will be bestowed in the heart by the Holy Ghost given unto them. And the Holy Ghost is sent, dear friends, to speak of Christ. When the Spirit of truth is come, says Jesus to his disciples, after he would ascend into heaven, he will speak of me. He will lead you into all truth. And when the precious gospel, the precious truth, is proclaimed, is preached and published, dear friends, to those that are the Lord's, it's in power. It's in the Holy Ghost. And it's in much assurance. Assurance of one, that one is a dreadful sinner. An assurance that we've got no hope in and of ourselves of eternal life. We can only add sin unto sin. Oh, it is written, the holy law of God, and we've transgressed it. All have come short of the glory of God. And we cannot save our own soul. Oh, but this God who is rich in mercy, the revelation of the truth through his Spirit to a needy sinner, a guilty sinner, a vile, wretched sinner, one who trembles at the word of God. Lord, I've got no hope in myself. I'm wretched, I'm undone, I'm a vile sinner. To this man will I look. Because it is written, the acceptable sacrifice is a broken and a contrite heart. One poured out in humble confession before God as a guilty sinner. And is it not written, if ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is written, the truth. And therefore, dear friends, we come to love God because of his love for us. There's no other way, is there? Loved with an everlasting love, with loving kindness as he drawn us. Oh, and in the revelation of the sweetness of that truth, that where sinners abounded, his grace now doth much more abound. And the power and sweetness of the covenant of that grace, the sure mercies of David, the guilty sinner that he was. We love him. Love him above all other things of this earth. It is written, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. He also said this, which is written, and if ye love me, keep my commandments. Oh, dear friends, what a searching word that is, isn't it? The commandment the Lord Jesus gave at that time was to love one another as I have loved you. To love one another as I have loved you. And that was the second commandment which the Lord Jesus spoke, wasn't it, after that first one. This is the second like unto the first one, based on love. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. It is written. To walk in love as Christ hath loved us. Dear friends, if we love him, then there's that other commandment, isn't there, which he gave his disciples before he suffered. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. It is written. Oh, dear friends, how we are tempted, aren't we, to disobey the word of God. How we are tempted to turn aside from his gracious words. Tempted through Satan, who still seeks to have the power over us. And, dear friends, he'll strive in the heart of those whom love God because of God's love for them. He'll do his utmost to separate them from the knowledge of that love, from that good hope that is set within them. Dear friends, you'll seek still earnestly to rule your hearts. You know your own heart's desires tonight, don't you, what they are in the flesh? You know your mind and your self-will. And dear friends, perhaps you're tempted in many ways to turn aside from obedience to the word of God. But what is written is written. And you cannot alter it. Transgression, always disobedience, isn't it, to the word of God. Now Satan sought to tempt Jesus. And these three temptations here, perhaps you're not a stranger to them. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus was hungry. being made like unto his brethren, he knew what it was as flesh and blood to know hunger and thirst and tiredness. What a temptation to provide himself first and foremost with the things of the body, his humanity, when he'd been led by the Spirit into the wilderness for this temptation. You know, dear friends, in our daily lives, if we're led by the Spirit of God, it's a sweet word, isn't it? Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They've been cleansed from sin. That Father's love that has been upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And to be led in our daily lives, our times in his hand, all events at his command, mysterious though they may be. But being led, we begin to turn our hearts and minds and favour to the things of this world more than to the things of God. Or tempted to say, well, if I pursue this way of riches and prosperity and business or esteem and this friendship and this particular way, then I shall be much better off. I shall continue more easily in life. I shall be able to pay my way out of all trouble. I shall be able to receive that help from those I'm friendly with in all distresses. And our own hearts and our minds and our reason begins to work. Dear friends, you cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus said that, didn't he? It is written. You cannot serve God and mammon. Either you will hold to the one and love the other, or give to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Dear friends, tonight you cannot walk aright before God and seeking your prosperity alongside it in the world. The word of God is this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things shall be added unto you. Man shall not live by bread alone, just the material things. Yes, we need them for our body day by day, but we shall not live by them alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. And perhaps some of you have proven that. Perhaps you can look back. And perhaps you've been in a danger. And it's been the word of God, it's been his voice, his command, that has saved you from death. There was no other reason for it. The Lord's good hand was upon you, and there was a voice in it. May you be, you were pursuing an evil way, a thing which dishonoured the Lord. And he hedged up your way and he chastened you and he brought you into great trouble. Was there not a voice in it to bring your wandering spirit back when you forsook his ways? Oh, we do not live just by earthly things, do we? Praise be to God that there's a people he's mindful of and he keeps in his ways. For man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. Dear friends, Christ is first and foremost for our eternal good. Now do remember that. It is written. Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Oh, to be submissive unto the Lord our God, who has loved us with an everlasting love. Christ, given his own self, shed his blood on Calvary's cross for the salvation of our souls. It's by that we live, and faith in him. trusting in him at all times. What was the second temptation? The devil taketh him up into the holy city, setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, Satan now saying that, it is written. Oh, he's a mighty foe. He will use the word of God. He will tempt you even with the word of God. It is written. He will give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Dear friends, he misapplies the word of God. Go and put on that stand on that pinnacle, throw yourself down and prove to the people that you have power above man, that you are the Son of God. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Dear friends, do we tempt the Lord our God? You know, tempting the Lord our God, although he has promised to watch over us, to watch over his people, to deliver them from all evil. Dear friends, do you pray for his protection in the morning? And then you go out, perhaps to work or to school or wherever you're going, and you behave foolishly, you drive dangerously, you do those things which are silly. That's tempting the Lord your God. I often think, you young people, I don't know how many of you have been to a theme park. It scares me when I've seen pictures of those structures where people scream as they hurtle from the heights to the depths and back up again. Dear friends, if one thing went wrong, it would be sure and certain death. And you're trusting in man that his everything is working together as it should. Do you put your trust in man under things like that which could bring sure and certain death and to have the thrill of fear? That's tempting the Lord thy God. We're to live in the fear of the Lord. We're to live in accordance with his word. To behave ourselves humbly, honestly, moderately. Let your moderation be known to all men. Fleeing from that which is evil. That's the spirit of truth within one. Or thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Well, there's many applications. May the Lord teach us of them day by day. Not to act foolishly and wantonly. The devil took Jesus up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and the glory of them. All these things will I give thee if thou shalt fall down and worship me. Of course, Satan couldn't do that. The world wasn't his. The world is the Lord's. But he's a liar. But how he tempts people, doesn't he? How does he tempt that one's heart will say concerning Christ and God, we will not have this man to rule over us? Then, dear friends, there's only one other to have the rule over you then, and that's Satan himself, and you worship him. In all your ways, you may be subconsciously, you don't realize you are, but you are. How solemn the case of that man Demas, who was with the Apostle Paul through many of his missionary journeys. And at the very end, Paul writes of him, Demas hath left me, having loved this present world. Oh, let none of us think that we're outside of these solemn temptations. We can be tempted to equally fall. What a need to keep prayerfully, steadfast to the word of God, that he will cause that word to prevail in us, in our hearts and in our minds, spiritually and providentially. That we may love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our mind and with all our soul, and our neighbour as ourselves, and to love him who first loved us in the keeping of his commandments. For it is written. Dear friends, what else is written? Oh no, dear friends, you say, oh yes, I'm tempted. When I'm tempted, I'm weak, I'm poor. Poor Peter was poor when he was tempted of Satan, wasn't he? And he denied his Lord with oaths and curses. How often have we failed in holding fast to the word of God? How many times have we grieved his Holy Spirit? Dear friends, to a true child of God, that will bring them very low because of their continual sin, the continual iniquity that they feel within their heart. They can't control it. In a moment, there's that harsh word. In a moment, there's that evil, sinful thought. There's that spiteful deed, or the way we do things and or not do things, withholding that which is good, which we should do. And Satan comes in, doesn't he? Oh, you're not a child of God. Your sins testify against you. You wouldn't be like that if you truly loved the Lord your God because of his love for you. You're a hypocrite. You've been deceived. There's no hope for you. Dear friends, that causes one to be much cast down, doesn't it? Dear friends, if that's your case, then say this to Satan. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. It is written. It is written. Oh, where sin has abounded, his grace doth much more abound. Satan tempted the Apostle Paul, didn't he? A messenger to buffet him. That would be a lying spirit. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, it brings us, doesn't it, to that throne of grace again. Lord, have mercy upon me. To plead his word, it is written. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. Well, that's the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it's this. It is written, I, even I am he that blotteth out all thy transgressions for my name's sake, and will remember thy sins no more. Now he that hath begun that good work in you, he that hath called you by grace, dear friends, he will maintain that work in you all your days. What a Saviour. What a precious word. What a divine truth. None shall ever pluck thee out of my hands. None shall ever pluck thee out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And Christ prayed, didn't he, that those for whom he died would be one with him as he was with the Father. Therefore there'd be no sin. The blotting out of all transgressions. Because, dear friends, it is written in the holy word of God, in the Psalms, isn't it? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Testifying of the sufferings of Christ on Calvary, who cried out the same words, who fulfilled all that was written of him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that my beloved people, whom I have given unto thee, to pay the price for their sin, to blot out all their guilt from beneath my holy law, so that they will not be forsaken. Oh, dear friends, these things are written, aren't they? For our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we may have hope. It is written. And dear friends, this word abideth forever. It cannot be overturned. Flesh and blood, ourselves, generations will fail. The heaven and earth shall pass away. But my word shall not pass away. Once in him we sing, don't we? In him forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands. And what about times of tribulation and trouble and sorrow and grief, which are bound to come? The Lord Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Oh, dear friends, the time's going, I'll be brief. It is written, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It is written, there's none like the God of Jeshurun, that riseth upon the heavens in thy help. Underneath are the everlasting arms to keep you, to uphold you, to deliver you, to provide for you. Oh, to fall, dear friends, upon our Lord, who is mighty to save. Humble yourselves in these times of tribulation. Oh, our nature is to fight against it all, isn't it? We may have to do things for ourselves, but we don't trust in ourselves. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time, because it's his hand. And there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Casting all your care upon him, for it is written, he careth for you. He careth for you. Loved with an everlasting love. Therefore you're not consumed. Dear friends, these things that are written. Oh, what a comfort they are to us, aren't they? What a help they are as we plead his word before him. And dear friends, one day we shall come to die. Dear friends, when we come to die, we shall have no goodness of ourselves to enter into heaven. We may have been obedient as we should and done all that we should in accordance with the word of God. But as Jesus said and is written, we have been unprofitable servants. We've done that which is our duty to do. We've walked in love, so exhort to walk in love, as thou hast loved us. But that's not our hope of eternal life, is it? It's only built on our hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. But if he hath begun that good work in you, precious in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. They're his purchased possession. They're his that have been cleansed from all sin. They're his that the Father hath given unto him. And he's given his own life for sacrifice for their sin. Dear friends, they're his by righteousness. He made righteous, he made sin for them that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. Therefore they're precious. Oh, dear friends, we don't feel to be very precious, do we, in the sight of God? But we are precious if we're the ones for whom Christ died. He says, they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. They shall be mine, ever mine, in glory. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth. What's that word? I must just touch upon it in closing. It's in the Revelation, isn't it? If my eye can just drop upon it. Blessed are they that die in the Lord, are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours, and their works do follow them. Dear friends, what are their labours? They've been labouring much, haven't they? Against the power of sin and iniquity and tribulation, and the sin and the evil of their own heart. Their labours have been one pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. Dear friends, they are not despised. These are the ones who are loved with an everlasting love. They may now rest from their labours, called up higher to that place where Christ hath prepared for them. I go to prepare a place for you. And they are received unto himself. Their works do follow them. Dear friends, those works of dependence upon the Lord. Those works of committing all their way unto him. Dear friends, he brings forth the fruit to his honour and glory. The precious fruit of righteousness. They're his. And forever his. Oh, dear friends, these things are written that we might have hope. Well, may that which is written, this holy word of truth, which we thank the Lord is still published in our own tongue, dear friends, may it be made precious to you. It speaks of Christ. The way, the truth, and the life. And they that believe in him, dear friends, he is precious. And therefore his word of truth which reveals him is precious. And we're to seek to live in accordance with this word. For it is written, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. Spiritually and providentially. And dear friends, let it not only be written here before your eyes. Pray that the Lord will write it upon the fleshy tables of your heart. For where that written word is, to be declared in your conversation, your behaviour in life, Satan will flee or will tempt you. But you'll be able to resort to the truth of this sacred word. It is written. And as he had to depart from Christ, through him you will gain the victory. It is written. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Adrian Pickett next Friday evening. Now the collection tonight for the Trinitarian Bible Society. Let us close with hymn number 14. Begin my tongue some heavenly theme and speak some boundless thing, the mighty works or mightier name of our eternal King. Number 14.
O Lord, do bless thine own word, that which was written so long ago. May it live on today in our hearts. Lord, who live, lead us into the word of truth, and may it be our guide, and thou be our God, even unto death. So, Lord, watch over us as we separate. Preserve and keep us from the way of evil. Keep us from the way of our own sinful heart. Keep us looking unto Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And may that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.